Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As we say up north, this is a biggie. I'm going to have you stand for one line. Perhaps the only line you need to hear. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. Please be seated. He saw. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I'm the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Judeans did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Judeans, who had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this person, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but does listen to anyone who is devout and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of someone born blind. If this person were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and he is the one speaking with you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near Jesus heard this and said to him, "Surely, we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. As I was illustrating with the way we did the gospel lesson, this line is the only one we really need of the story. Perhaps it is the only line we really need in the Bible. Jesus walked along. As he did, he saw a man blind from birth. Jesus, the light of the world, sees a man totally enveloped in darkness and will bring him to new birth, new life, to light. It all begins and is telescoped, even promised, in Jesus seeing, in his regard, in his attention to this man. In Jesus seeing, in his light, we hear the echo of creation itself. We hear that echo shimmer through the universe. Do you remember how the Gospel of John begins? In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of all women and men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. That is, was walking along into our lives. Jesus, the light of the world, sees the woman at the well, the story of last week, sees the man born blind, sees you. He sees you with attention, with regard, with light. Are you in a dark place? Do you fail to see your purpose, your life? Has illness robbed your hope? Does what you've done, or as we confess, failed to do, haunt you? Have the demonic systems of the world, racism, sexism, others, organized violence, any form of prejudice or stereotype cast a pall over you? Are you unseen in the darkness? In darkness, we are like shadows before creation, before the light, when there was no form and all was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, as it says at the very beginning. And walking along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. It's a creation story, a new creation story. Earth and water, mud and spit brought together for a new person, to bring this person from nothingness into a new creation. Earth and water and spirit, the spirit of Jesus seeing, of his relationship, of his care, of his attention, his regard, favor, we often say, as a person to be valued, as one to be cared for, to see and be seen, for God's face to shine upon this one in Jesus' own gaze, for God's face to shine upon you in Christ Jesus, in seeing, to enter your darkness, to bear it so that you are not alone, not overcome. This seeing is connecting, committing, promising, forgiving, not only a creation story, but a redemption story for you. In the story, sin is all about not seeing the other, or perhaps only seeing the other as a beggar. Remember, is that really him? They can only know him as an outcast, a sinner, one of no value, expendable, not worth a look. Jesus' opponents have two good eyes, but still can't see. I love the Grateful Dead line. Their identity, their life, is based upon seeing others only as enemy, as outcast. Their life is dependent upon excluding others. And so Jesus observes that their sin remains. They judge themselves. If they could confess their blindness, they would have no sin. Remember that Jesus sees them also. I was trying to say that downstairs. Jesus sees everyone, and Jesus' promise and hope and calling is for everyone to trust, to hear his call, with the same promise of bearing their darkness. Confessing would be seeing the man born blind as a valued child of God. It would mean trusting Jesus as the light of the world. But instead, the religious leaders, they double down on darkness. They cast the man out. They are reviled at the thought of being Jesus' disciples, of being Jesus' followers, of welcoming others. Disciples, it's a whole story. It's about a lot of things, but it's certainly about discipleship. Are those who follow Jesus in seeing others as valued children of God. For this discipleship we were created. For this we were redeemed. And for this we are called. We are empowered first by the cross, where Jesus does not hesitate to be one with us in our darkness. That he does not pass the man lost in darkness means he will not pass by the cross. He will not pass by us in our darkness, in our sorrow, in our loss, in our failure. We see at the end of the story, Jesus too will be driven out to the cross, but bears the darkness, both that befalls us and the darkness that we cause. In the midst of our Lenten journey, we are called once more to walk with Jesus along his path to see the woman, to see the woman at the well, to see the man blind from birth, to walk to the cross, and then to the resurrection. Amen. Postscriptum. As I was saying downstairs, we read this story, we read these stories, and I just didn't find a good way to stick it in the middle of my sermon. But these stories are for us now. These stories are contemporary in the sense that we all face the darkness. Or each day, we come across sisters and brothers who live in darkness, because something like this plays out every day in our lives, to see or not to see, and As with Jesus, it's never just about the individual. As I said at the Bible class, it's also about what we see as an organized society, as a community. We are called and empowered to this scene. Double amen.